in myself, I wanted to continue with what we preached Sunday, but that's not the direction that God wants to go, and maybe the Lord will let us even go further with what we preached Sunday. But if you and I truly understood how vast, extensive, and comprehensive the kingdom of darkness is in the world, in our nation, in our families, in our home, and in our lives, it would horrify us. It would amaze us. The tentacles of darkness, and that's what I'll call it, is deeply entrenched. Deeply entrenched in the kingdoms of this world, because when you study into their nature, they were started by the devil and they're ruled by the devil. At Calvary, they were delivered up unto Christ. In the heavens, they're under his rule, but in the earth, they're still under the rule of the powers of darkness. And it's the responsibility of the church to take this territory back. But it's hard to take back territory when you're struggling with your own little stuff. It's hard to engage in spiritual warfare when you're got stuff going on in your own flesh and in your own life that has you held captive. And if we cannot recognize the truth of what we struggle with and get deliverance, we're forever stuck. That's why Paul, writing Timothy, said, "And in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, peradventure God, give them repentance to acknowledge the truth," which means to recognize the truth. To recognize it. Because when you recognize it, then can you recover yourself out of the snares of the devil. But if I don't recognize what has... See, the problem is some people like what has them bound. They like it. They don't want deliverance. It's a friend. It's a common companion. They like it. But then if we're unable to recognize these things that have built strong... These demons that have built strongholds, imaginations, and high... I said I wasn't going to. We're not. We can't. It's... We're going to talk about the Godhead tonight. Oh, man. In my flesh, my human will, I want to explore this with you, but I can't. The Godhead. So tonight we're going to kind of lay a foundation, and it's going to grow. There's so much material about this subject, and those are my notes until we get to scriptures, and you can follow me in my notes. There's so much material about this subject, the Godhead, that to attempt to cover all of it is absolutely impossible. It's impossible. And I want to give us what I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost to teach to us on this subject. I can't teach it all and don't feel led to teach it all. And I can only teach what God allows me to teach at this time. And so with the Lord's help, we will at least touch all the main points on this subject. And in the future, it will help establish people in the knowledge of this subject. And tonight we're not going to get to it, but in my notes I said, we will start with the I am God. My Lord, what a comprehensive subject throughout the scripture. The key word is not God. Sorry, Many times when you read the word God in the Old Testament, it comes from Elohim. And it's not necessarily talking about the God you and I talk about. In fact, sometimes Elohim is referenced to a man. Sometimes Elohim is referenced to angels. And so it's not always referenced. So God is not the key word, but I am. Because the two words I am automatically means we're talking about the God. The God. He is God. And so the word God just qualifies these two words, I am. So what if tonight we could wipe our minds, our hearts, our souls completely clear of everything that we have been told about God? We just wipe our minds clear. Every teaching we have heard, everything we have read outside of the Bible, I'm saying outside of the Bible, and start our search over again and confine that search to strictly the Bible. What if we could do that? I personally believe the Lord would be very pleased with that myself. I believe most of our problems in understanding God, hear me, and any other doctrines come from extra biblical sources. People who are just like us, no matter how qualified they think they may be or we think they may be, are just trying to understand God and the things of God themselves. So what do? They write books and tell us their opinion. And what is an opinion? It's a viewpoint that's not shaped in facts. It's an opinion. If it was a fact, it's a fact. But if it's not a fact, it's just an opinion not shaped in facts. That's what an opinion means. And everybody has them. I do not find fault with that because occasionally I do read books. It's rare, but I do read books. But I always take what they say and I measure it ultimately to the Bible. Ultimately, if you want truth, you have to go to the Bible as our only source of truth. And I believe with all of my heart that the Bible is the only sovereign authority in our lives. I believe the Bible tells us what to think, what to believe, how to act, how to believe. I believe the Lord, through His Word, has the right to use His Word to give us that kind of instruction. How much of our lives are ruled by Scripture? When I say Scripture, Scripture is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the will of God. Now, I know everyone claims to be a believer. I'm a believer. But everyone who claims to be a believer gives the Bible that kind of place in their lives. I personally am what some would consider extreme on that belief about the Bible. I reject, hear me, I reject everything that is not scriptural that you cannot find in the Bible. I reject it. It's not truth. It may be an opinion, may be your belief, may be what you hold on to, but if you cannot validate it and prove it in the Scripture, I reject it. If you're okay with stuff that is not in the Bible, that position may be okay with you, but it's not okay with God. So the purpose of this study is to go back to the Bible and see what it actually says. We are not the only ones who have had problems understanding what God has said. Anybody here ever have problems with what God said or what He is saying? It's just like, oh my Lord, I did not know that. You say, well, I'd rather been ignorant. Well, the Bible says God once winked at ignorance. Ignorance, all it means is the lack of information. Lack of information don't mean anything to God now. So I want to read a little bit, but it will bring the challenge to the forefront. This is one of the most significant confrontations Jesus had with the traditionally religious people of his day. And I will say this, and you've heard me say it many times, God hates religion. All religion means, look it up, it means a form and a way of worship. God hates religion. Mentioned 5 times in the Bible. And every time it is mentioned, Jesus or Paul spoke of it in a very derogatory manner. That's the Jews' religion. That's their way of worship. That's their way of worship. Atheism is a way of worship. Nature is a way of worship. Everything is a form and a way of worship. But the Bible said, and so the Lord kind of put a, okay, took the sting out of it a little bit, and he said, pure and undefiled religion is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. And to God, that is the true form and way of worship. So now Jesus is confronting these traditionally religious people of his day, and as we read, it won't take you long to understand the challenges they had trying to look at him from their extra biblical position, because they made it very clear the importance they gave to the traditions of the fathers. From the position of giving credence equal to the traditions of the fathers with the Bible, there was no way they could accept the things that Jesus was saying, believe them, or understand them. So John 5:17, this is that. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things, everybody say all things, that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them or makes them alive, even so the Son quickeneth or maketh alive whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And now they are standing there scratching their heads, try with all of this contradictory stuff of tradition and extracurricular things that had been added to their mind about God, and they're standing there. This man is standing in front of them making claims that he has the right and authority of deity. And he has the abilities of deity. And I imagine some of them, their eyes glazed over, some of them lit on fire, and some of them, just like Paul, he thought he was doing God a favor. But he was against God. The God they supposedly believed in all these years, even though they believed the Messiah, there was a Messiah that was coming. They believed that. They embraced that. They got together on the synagogues and read the scriptures about the Messiah that was going to come, but they had all these false impressions about Messiah because they actually thought he was going to raise up an earthly kingdom. He was going to gather an empire, and they were going to fight against the Romans and drive them into the sea. That was their concept. That was the extracurricular reading and words and stuff that had been preached and taught of when the Messiah comes. Now we got this man standing here. He's not sitting on a throne. He hasn't gathered together no army. And he has no intention of fighting the armies. And he's claiming to be deity. And they obviously did not know who he was and what he would be. And because he's standing there making claims that he is the Jehovah God, they're just shaking their heads like, Why? They got so much stuff bouncing around inside their head that they cannot hear the voice of God. And that's what fasting is for. It's to silence the stuff that's going around on or around in your life so you can hear the voice of God. It's to end the voices. That's why I don't talk to Philip about anybody in this church. I don't talk to Daryl Moffat about anybody in this church. I don't talk to preachers that walk in this pulpit about anybody in the, because what I don't want is my voice and what I say to bounce around in their head with what God's saying, and then it comes out a mess. And so is it for us to hear the voice of God? You need to get in quiet places, especially if you're seeking the voice of God. Doesn't mean God don't talk to you in the midst of activity and all that stuff. But if you're really needing to hear the voice of God, you need to draw away from the crowd and go on an extended fast and just take your Bible with you and do nothing but read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. And get into this quiet place and you'll hear the voice of God. God will talk to you. Because you got to silence the other voices. And so verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, you got to hear my word and believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. In other words, you won't be condemned. You won't come under a sentence, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Notice, he's not talking about people in the grave. He's talking about people that's dead in trespasses and sins, going to hear the voice of God and respond to the voice of God, and through it they're going to find eternal life through the new birth experience, and they're going to live. For as the Father hath life in himself, he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Him you believe not. Some were angry, some are baffled, some didn't have a clue about what he is talking about, and others thought they did just like us. He had one strong admonition of direction of how to fix that, and here it is. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What an absolute, positive, direct, clear statement. Not search the theology books. Not go to seminary and read some books written by someone last year, a decade ago, several hundred of years ago, but search the scripture. Not search the library for some particular author who has written a phenomenal book. Oh no. You see, it is also a very telling statement when he says this. Verse 39 again. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. How much do we really know about the scripture? How much do we really know about the Scripture? How much do we as individuals search the Scripture? How much do we as individuals study the Bible and study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that did? How much of the book do we study, or are we content to be who we are, where we are, stuck where we are, and we're not and you're depending on others to tell you what they think about the book? Where are you at in your Bible reading this year? How many times have you already read it through? How many subjects have you researched out this year just to search out for yourself? And we think we know Him, and we think we have eternal life, and we think we have knowledge of the book. See, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, talking to the same people, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err." Do you know what that word "err" means? It comes from, it's the same Greek word "error," "err," and the Bible says it's a spirit. The Bible says the spirit, did you know truth is a spirit? Truth is a spirit. And the Bible says error is a spirit. Deception is a spirit. Lying is a spirit. All these things are spirits, and they have one motive and intent. And that word error means to cause to wander from the truth. That, do you know how easy it is to entertain a spirit of error? Easy. You do err. You don't know the Scriptures nor the power of God. You see, here's the issue. They thought they knew the Scriptures, and they thought they had eternal life. They proved they didn't know the Scriptures, and they did not know who and what He was. Because Jesus said, "The Scriptures testify of me." Study it from Genesis to Malachi. Everything in that book, the Old Testament, is about Jesus Christ. Every narrative, every story is about Jonah in the belly of the whale is about Jesus Christ. It's not about Jonah, it's about Jesus Christ. Jacob and his sons, really about Jesus Christ and his seed. The promised land is about Jesus Christ. There's nothing in that. Everything about it is portraits of Jesus Christ, narratives of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, "I come in the volume of the book." And everything about the book is about me. The volume of it is about me. I come in the volume of it. And now Jesus says, "Hey, you do err. You think you know the Scriptures. I come in the volume of it. It's testifying to me. And you still don't know who I am, yet you think you know the book." They proved they didn't know the Scriptures, and they didn't know who and what He was. Because you see, knowing theology, what is theology? What is theology? All it means is the study of God. That's what theology means, the pursuit and study of God. Theology. And so knowing theology is not the same thing as knowing the Scriptures. There's a whole lot of doctors of theology who don't even believe in the Bible. It was shocked when I began to take certain courses and study certain things and listen to certain videos and begin to take certain courses in theology and stuff, and come to find out the man that was teaching, these guys that were teaching, don't even believe in God. Yet they're wanting to talk to me about God and how they dissect the book, and they begin to rip it apart as though it's not the Word of God, and try to prove certain things in the Bible that they're fallible and that they're lies and they don't really mean what they mean, and they begin to subtract and take away. You see, plus theologians have a tendency to add to the word, take away from it, trying to define what it stands for. In addition, they have a habit of inventing non-biblical terminology in order to state their doctrines. If our terminology for any doctrine, including the Godhead, if we cannot find it in the Bible literally, like we are using the terminology, then the terminology is false, and the doctrine we define with that terminology is also false. Again, terminology that cannot be found in Scripture cannot be used to define or identify divinely inspired spiritual subjects. That's why I tell you, I'm just going back to calling people Christians. Are you a Christian? Doesn't really matter if you're a Pentecostal. I don't find that. I find Pentecost in the Bible, but I don't find Pentecostal. Because when you say that word, there's about 120 different flavors. Well, I'm apostolic. Like, I'm better than them Pentecostals. I follow the apostolic doctrine. Well, I really don't know anybody that truly follows the apostolic doctrine and the teaching, and we're in pursuit of it, longing for it. So why don't I just be a Christian like they were first called Christians at Antioch? If I can just be a Christian, I don't want to get into religious politics and identity politics. I just want to be a Christian. What denomination? Man, I'm not a denomination. I'm non-denominational. Just want to be a Christian. And so if I cannot find the terminology I use in the Scripture, I need to just get it out of my vocabulary. And if we are willing to use theologically invented words that cannot be found in the Bible, there is no concordance that can find those words, and if we are willing to use them, then we must be willing to accept the consequences of what that produces in our lives, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our thinking. False terminology produces false doctrine. I'm going to say that again. False terminology produces false doctrine. And this is the first place to start in examining our terminology with Scripture to see if we err and have wandered away from the truth of what the Bible says. It is simple to do. Just take the common terminology that we use to define God or anyone else. Get your concordance out. How many knows what a concordance is? Probably the best one you can get right now to start off with in baby steps, and it's amazing. It's called the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Get that concordance. You can buy it in a book. It's in my Bible program on my computer. Plus, I have about 7 to 8, 9 other Greek Hebrew lexicons that go into greater depth of the etymology of words and the study of words and how they were used in Greek time, how they were used in the Hebrew, and how they're used today. And it just rips and tears, because if you study words, then you can more understand what God is trying to say and get a better, more pure interpretation. If you got a concordance, type in the word you're looking for. And if it doesn't show up, get it out of your vocabulary. It's not in the Bible. It's man invented. Some theologian somewhere. Go look up Trinity. Just go look up that. That'd be a good one to start with. It'll be a short study. Real short. Because it's not in the Bible. That word is not in the Bible. It was invented by men. Theologians. Just go type it out. Look it up. Search and see if it comes up. If you can't find it in a concordance, a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, don't speak it. Don't even talk about it. You see, some may say, I believe the Bible, but use terminology that's not even in the Bible. Here's a problem. There's a curse to those who add to or take away from the word of God. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. You can't add to or take away from what God commands. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Proverbs 36. And thou shalt add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy, the divinely inspired utterances of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Well, this is very strong language if we add to or take away from the word of God. When we think about the Word of God, it is what God says, and you and I cannot add to what God says, and neither can we take away from it. It's God's words. You can't add to it, you can't take away from it unless God reproves you, and you'll be found to be a liar. It is a salvation issue. Why? Because adding to or taking away changes the message and the truth of God's Word. I know we're still talking about the Godhead. We just ain't got there yet. We're trying to establish some things before we get there. It is not the act of adding to or taking away from the Word of God that specifically causes a person to be lost. Hear me. The adding to, taking away is not really what causes a person to be lost. It is the self-deception and it is the error of causing us to wander away from truth. We're fellowshipping with error. Why? Because we've added to or taken away from the Word. And when we do that, it begins to cause us to wander away from what God is saying. And we're wandering away in deception and error and self-deceit. And now we're going to be lost. Why? We've wandered away from truth. Truth is never communicated by unbiblical terminology. Hear me again. Truth is never communicated by unbiblical terminology. The Word of God was given to guide and instruct us. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. Everybody say, Scripture hath said. You want to believe on him, you got to do it the way the book tells you to do it. The way the Bible tells you to do it. As the Scripture has said, to those that believe, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus says, search the Scripture. Why? Because in them you think you have eternal life, for these are they which testify of me. So if we believe on him some other way than the Scripture has said, our faith does not work. It doesn't work. Now we may claim to have it, but it doesn't work. These are the words of Jesus, not pound. Without option, our faith in him must be as the Scripture has said. Our faith just doesn't work, no matter how much we say we're a Bible believer and I believe in God. Yeah, I'm a believer. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now I know some have a great affinity with bread alone. Don't matter whether it's white bleached flour, whether it's wheat, 7-grain bread, biscuits, corn muffins, it just doesn't matter. Some people can make a meal out of bread alone. My wife loves bread. She's having to stay away from it now, but I've heard her in the grocery store pick up a loaf of bread, and she'll squeeze every last one of them. And I've heard her do this under her breath, and you couldn't hear it unless she go, I've watched little kids take real white bread and just crumple it up into little dough balls. When I made dough balls, I was going fishing for carp. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that speaketh, or that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. There's nothing good in your flesh. It can't profit anything. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Say, the words of Jesus are spirit and they are life. Spirit, life. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, the words of the Lord is sure. They make wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Notice there's so many different areas of our inner man that is touched. It converts the soul. It makes us wise in our thoughts and our thinking. And then the statutes are right. It causes the heart to rejoice. All kinds of different areas of our inner man. The commandment of the Lord is pure. What does it do? Enlighten the eyes. It brings understanding. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These things are more to be desired. Than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. That just goes along with what James says. Blessed is the man that heareth and doeth the word. Why? There's great reward in doing the word. There's a blessing, not in hearing the word, but in doing the word. And right here it says, keeping them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. This verse, in the context of the previous verses, tells me the way I can understand my errors. And the way I can be cleansed from my secret faults is the word of God. 2 Peter 1:18, and this voice which came down from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. When these three, Peter, James, and John, was with Jesus Christ in the mount called Transfiguration, and they heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to dwell. And then they saw Moses and Elijah, and they were standing there talking about the crucifixion and Calvary, and they were there. And now out of all of that, Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than the voice that they heard spoken to them from heaven. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Everybody say, the scripture is of no private interpretation. It means what it says what it means. We may misunderstand it, but I'll tell you one thing. We don't have a private interpretation of it. The things that God shows me, I know he's showing to other people. I know when the voice of the Lord's speaking, if I'm able to hear the voice of the Lord and God speaking to me things that it's like, wow, this is amazing, awesome. I also know that God's speaking to other people all around the world that has an ear to hear. It's not just to me he's speaking. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It didn't come because of their desires, their choices, their decisions. They had nothing to do with it. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. This is Paul talking to Timothy, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. The scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation, not the books you read. Through faith, which is in Jesus Christ Jesus. All scripture. Everybody say all scripture. That means all the little commas, the punctuations. It means all the ands, these, and thous, and thuses, and all the little coordinating conjunctions. Not anyone's opinion, not any church's doctrine or dogma, not any preacher's opinion. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. It was God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. This word perfect means complete, spiritually mature, meeting all demands, fully qualified and adequate, that the man of God, how? Through the word, through the scripture, through studying to show himself approved unto God, through studying and hearing the voice of the Lord, he now becomes fully qualified and adequate, thoroughly furnished, which means fully equipped in order to make God's people fully qualified for work in his service. Truly furnished. That's why he said he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we may grow up in all things into him who is our head. When you study about perfect, it means to that's why you don't need to just hear my voice. You'll be very lopsided in your walk with God if my voice is the only voice you hear. That's why the Lord's moving us to bring in other voices. Why? To help equip and perfect this church. Because if all you hear is my voice, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to do what? To equip the saints. And if all you do is know my voice and my preaching and teaching, and you don't have all these other voices preaching truth added and building into your life and stuff, you're just going to have a very one-sided walk with God. Now, it hurts my feelings to say that. It almost offends me to say that, but that's the book. You want to be perfect and complete? You want to be equipped to do the work of God? You're going to have to hear somebody else besides me. No, you don't have permission to leave this church and go someplace else. You let God work that out right here. So, brother, I just want to hear you, Brother Pound. Well, your walk with God's going to just have a huge knot on one side of it. Now, that hurts my feelings to say all that business. So to all those that say the Bible doesn't make sense, and I got to hurry. Well, when I read the Bible, it just doesn't make sense to me. All the these and thous and thuses, I just don't understand it. Do you know how many times I've heard that? I'd be a wealthy man right now. Did you know we're never supposed to read and study the Bible by ourselves? Hear me. The Bible is the only book in existence that every time you read it, you can sit down with the author while you read it. It's the only book in existence. If we read it without him present and we trust what we are understanding, God have mercy on us. The Word of God is a spiritual, the Bible, the Word of God is a spiritual book. For the words of this book, that Jesus already said, they are spirit and they are life. And without his spirit giving us understanding on what we're reading, the life of it is, it's designed to bring us life, but it only brings us death. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And the Bible is the only book that you can sit down with the one who authored it. I promise you, you don't need to just sit down and start reading your Bible. You need to clutch it to your chest and begin to pray. I'm asking you to sit with here with me. I'm asking you to be with me. As I read your word, I'm asking you to explain it to me. It's the only book you can sit down with the author and ask him, tell me, talk to me about what you're saying. It doesn't make sense to me, but you know what you were saying, and God can begin to speak to us and open up our understanding. It's the only book. And people that's reading it and crying, I don't understand this, because you're not asking the author to sit with you and help you. Well, there's a lot to say right there about all that stuff. This is Jesus speaking, John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Now, you just can't bear them. You can't hear them. You're not going to understand it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How is he going to do this? For he shall not speak of himself. He's not going to talk about himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, because he's going to hear my voice, he's going to hear my word, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will not speak his own message with his own authority. He will not contradict what I have said to you, because I am the word of truth, and the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Did you notice when the Spirit of truth comes? Truth's a spirit. 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And I'm closing with this, and we'll probably open it up in our next lesson. There are seminal scriptures. Seminal. It's a word I had to look up. The word seminal means this: of essential importance, specifically basic, central, or principal, crucial, critical, or pivotal. We call something seminal when it is so original, I'm reading out of the dictionary, so groundbreaking and awesome that it will influence everything that will come after it. The Word of God's a seed. If you'll find some good ground and let that seed be sown in your heart, it'll grow. And it will begin to influence everything that comes after it. It'll begin to produce fruit. It'll begin to do things. The Word of God is the will of God. Seminal scriptures are those that contain such a definitive statement of principle as to affect all efforts to accurately interpret the scriptures on a specific subject, that they cannot be ignored without jeopardizing the faithfulness of the interpretation. I'm going to say that again, and this is, I'm closing. Brother Brian. Seminal scriptures that are central, basic, principle of essential importance. They are crucial, critical, or pivotal. Seminal scriptures are those that contain such a definitive statement of principle as to affect all efforts to accurately interpret the scriptures on a specific subject, that they cannot be ignored without jeopardizing the faithfulness of the interpretation. I've told you before, and I'll say it again. I am on a desperate mission to find truth and only truth. And wherever I find truth, I will abandon everything prior to that that I thought was truth. I don't care what it is. I want truth. Truth is the only thing that can save us. Truth is the only thing that can deliver us. And the only way you and I find truth is in the Bible. I'm not against reading other books. I'll do it on occasion. I've got 10, 12 books started, and I'm probably not even 5 pages into it. I just can't get into them because I'm reading the opinion of somebody. It's just an opinion. Sounds good, but it doesn't quite measure up. And so I'm giving myself to just really only studying and reading the Bible. And when God begins to talk to me about things, that's what I begin to pursue and study. I cannot tell you how many times as I read the Bible and I come across something and I'll tell God, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't know how many requests. I do not understand this right here. It don't make sense to me. I'm asking you, so show me what you mean. What are you saying here? He doesn't talk, and I make a mental note and I move on. Sometimes during the course of a week, a month, maybe even a year later, God begins to take another scripture and tie it to that to show me and help me understand the question I asked. I cannot tell you how many times I've stood in the pulpit here and God began to speak through me and begins to give me the answers to the questions I've asked. That's why when I come to the building, I am so hungry to hear what God says. You say, well, you're doing the preaching. No, you're not understanding me. Because I cannot tell you how God flows through me and speaks through me. And it just begins to flow, and it's like, oh my God, and light bulbs going on, and God talking to me. He may not be talking to you, but He sure is talking to me and giving me answers to my questions. And you think I'm just preaching to y'all, because you see, when I walk into this pulpit, God's going to talk to me. He's talking to me and through me, but He's talking to me. It's not just a bunch of notes on paper. As I sit there in front of my computer and I pray and I read and I study and God begins to speak and I just begin to type. And then when I bring those things that God has spoken to me, then God begins to expand and reveal even greater things as I'm ministering and preaching. I don't know about you, but I want God and only God. And I want truth and only truth, and only truth comes from the book. Sister Chenault said something years ago, and she said, I asked her if she'd read a book, and she said, no. She said, I don't read fiction. I thought, oh God, just another Chenault moment right here. I said, why? She said, I used to read a lot of books in fiction, but about at the age of 14, the Lord said, stop reading fiction. And I said, why? He said, because I am a God of truth and I only deal in truth and I don't deal in make-believe and fiction and fantasy. I only deal in truth and I want you to know truth. And I don't want my truth confounded with fiction. Here's a thought. If Satan can appear as an angel of light, do you know what that lets me know? That there is another side to darkness that doesn't have the appearance of all the grunge and the wickedness and the evil and the darkness. We know that human trafficking, man, that's dark. That's dark. That's wicked. That's evil. Rape, pedophilia, man, that's dark. Murder. Care what you think about pornography, it's dark. It's wicked. It's evil. We understand the darkness of it. But you and I must understand how subtle is Satan. If he can appear as an angel of light, there is another side to darkness that has the appearance of, this is okay. It's called a seducing spirit. It's called deception. It's called error, that which can cause people to wander away from truth. Folks, I don't care what you say. Hollywood calls themselves artists and creative. I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. That's demonic. God's the only creator. And to create something outside of God that is not truth. What is Hollywood is an empire that is built on demonic darkness. Oh, Brother Pound, you've gone crazy. No, let's look at it. What is the vast majority of movies and episodes and series about? They're make-believe. They're built on fantasy. They're built on make-believe. They're built on stuff that isn't true. It's just, did you know entertainment is a spirit? What do you think is in all these video games? You think they're of God? Brother Pound, you're going crazy again. Yeah, I know. Do you know why they so entertain us? Because these demons have built their strongholds and imaginations. Remember imaginations? What is imaginations? It's the things going on inside of your head that's not real, that's not true. It's not current and present to the senses. It's just, how many have had imaginary scenarios go on in your head about how you're going to kill somebody? God, you didn't bring that into it, but y'all not being honest with me. Or you can get even with them. Play out all this. Hey, man, if it wasn't for that policeman, if it wasn't for the FBI, and if it wasn't for the law, you'd be dead. Imaginations. So these creative artists, under the influence of darkness, begin to come up with all kinds of movies. They're not based in truth. They're not based in reality. They're demonic inspired. Well, they're not bad. Well, they're not good either in God's book. Disney. That empire is built on the foundation of demonic activity. And then unknowingly we allow, we may cover ourselves, but unknowingly we open up the door and allow demons in our home and allow spirits and all kinds of things into situation, and we're unaware of them. And they're there because we opened up the door to them. Look at all the stuff Disney produces. There's nothing holy, true, and righteous. Brian brought it to my attention. He said, if you look at all these little Elsa and all these little princesses and all these little things and all that stuff, he said they are girls. Moana. They're girls who rebel against their fathers. And at the end of the movie, the fathers find to come around and say they're okay. That's demonic. Care what you call it. Don't care what you say. Let's get to the book and find out what is truth. What is truth? The books you read, they're the imaginations of a person who wrote them. The movies that are put together and produced, they're the imaginations of someone that produced them. Where they come from? I'm sorry. 99% of those actors in Hollywood don't have the Holy Ghost. And no telling what all they do possess. Have you ever watched them act? The influence they come under, because the word act in the Greek means, an actor means hypocrite, one who can wear the mask, change out many masks, and become many different characters. Johnny Depp even said, why ask me about the truth? He said, I lie for a living. Do we really want truth? Are we hungry for truth? See, if I can recognize, and God helps me recognize the truth about the things I've got in my flesh that I've given power and rule and influence in my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, my human will, then can I begin to recover myself? See, we got to know where all this stuff is. Hey, if we don't know truth, how can we recognize truth when it shows up? How can we know what to allow in our homes and take out of our homes? What can we allow in our lives and take out of our what? See, and here we are. We're in a place. Bring them on in, Sister Johnson. Tell her, come on in. I think they got them all clean. Asking us all to stand. Something to pray about, isn't it? Harry Potter and Hogwarts and all that mess. Sure is entertaining. You know the doors it opens? Just a thought. I'm telling you, it's more bigger and comprehensive and in depth than we ever could understand. Who do you think rules the business of this world? It's not the church, not the kingdom of God, not the people of God. So anything that brings entertainment to our flesh, usually of this world system, is demonically inspired. And it has its tentacles in our flesh and strongholds and imaginations. And we don't know that it's there because we can't recognize the truth of it. Say, Brother Pound, you still talking about the Godhead? Absolutely, because the Godhead's true. It's true. It's true. In fact, Paul said it's easily understood and clearly seen all the way from the beginning. Go back to the beginning, you're going to find the Godhead is in every verse of Scripture. So you're going to find it everywhere you go.